What's up?
What's up? How you doing? Are we on?
We're on, baby. All right. Here's the deal. We're in a new space today.
We're in a new room today.
Anybody who's listening,
my neighbor, because I hear going at it. So there's no way she
really
can hear us going at it. Right?
Really?
Oh yeah. Not now because they're off. But like when they're on. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It's
she
like
has
one of the nice things about living in New York is you get all that.
Yeah. Like. It's like you could watch any video on the internet, but could you hear it live? Could you hear the live thing? No. Do you think they can hear me right now?
I don't know.
I feel like they can.
I don't think so.
I don't care. You can't live in fear.
We can't live in fear.
You cannot live in fear.
How are you?
We
haven't done a you and me episode in a long time.
I know.
It's good for us to get back to our roots.
I love your hat. You say you don't look good in hats. I don't think that's true.
This is the only hat that I like.
Wait. Okay, why? What's on the other side of it?
No, not because of that. Because it fits my head.
Well, is it like a special build?
I don't know. Maddie had it, and I took it from her.
It looks amazing.
And she's an ally because she lets me wear it.
I know, Maddie. I just saw a picture of Maddie in an oversized hoodie, and I, too, was in an oversized hoodie. And I was like, why am I morphing into Matt? What am I doing? Like, what are we going for? I feel like me and Maddie are morphing into each other. And it's like, this is kind of crazy.
Yes,
and
this
gross.
Is the gay guy lesbian divide.
Kind of dark, yeah. It was like I love an oversized hoodie. Every oversized hoodie.
Oh,
that's what we need in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Is this boring for you? Is this boring for you? If it is, send me an oversized hoodie.
Send an oversized hoodie.
If you work at Mad Happy and you want to send me an oversized hoodie that will be, like, you won't say it's cropped, but it kind of is cropped because I have a short torso already and then it still even doesn't come down to my waist, which is crazy, send me an oversized hoodie.
Wow.
I'm sorry, can I eat this?
Please.
You're so mad.
No, I'm not mad.
I'm being so annoying today.
We've never seen you eat on pod, so.
Yeah. And then he ate a sweet potato.
Is that a sweet potato?
Yeah.
Okay.
This should be behind a paywall.
This
wait, what if I was on an OnlyFans and I just like ate sweet potatoes? It's like eating.
You know what? I bet there's somebody who would pay for that.
I don't doubt it.
I need to find the type of OnlyFans where I don't have to do anything sexual.
Yeah.
Where I can just like do something like that.
Yeah, riff.
Riff?
Like just riff.
Oh, I guess I could do that.
Like you're riffing on OnlyFans. That's a lot of what. Oh my God, I have to tell you something. Gonna fall out of this chair right now. Have to tell you something. Okay, so remember that reel with James Tom that we had that everyone kind of was like weird about, except
yes.
for maybe only three people, but they were like allowed three.
Yes.
Well, and everyone thought, I don't know what, I think we all got misgendered. Everyone was kind of just like misidentified.
Oh, for sure.
And but you know, you came out looking pretty good because that one guy commented, I just feel like it shouldn't be obvious whether you're like masculine. He said, I like when a gay guy isn't obviously masculine or feminine. He just is himself, like the third guy in this video, which was, I had to watch the video to be like, who's the third? It's you. And who's the guy that commented on that? This guy that jerks off on the internet all the time on chatterbait.com. Yeah.
On Chatterbait?
I whack off. What do you want me to say? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Wow.
All the time. And it's like, that hurts me because I'm your fan and the way that you're coming for me and I'm a fan. It literally was like, it was sad.
That is so funny.
Never meet your heroes.
You know what's crazy? This is a real testament to
Clyde Austin. We don't have to cut it. He's public.
This is a real testament to the times we're living in. To give the boys some, if you're not in on our Instagram, get on there because we need your support. We need your help. But basically, we posted a reel about when we had James Dom on the podcast talking about the relationships between capital G gay men and capital T trans men as those social identities work and what that largely broad strokes looks like. And it was sort of a meta conversation on what this podcast was started on and our relationship, our friendship.
Meta.
And out of context, so many people got mad that we were talking about the fact that some trans men are gay. We know.
At least three. Minimum three.
For the record, James is gay, and he was in his trends and was talking about that. It was like we literally have all of the Venn diagram sitting here. Anyway, but it's a real testament.
They said we should be building. Did you say that already? I floated out for a minute. Did you say the part about the camaraderie?
No, that we should be building camaraderie among gay and trans men.
They said we should be building camaraderie among trans men and gay men, and it's like we're trying, and you're not making it easy, commenters. You are making
it hard.
Well,
this is my point. It's like these people, these dumbasses on the internet who come into the comments on a reel that's 90 seconds or less that they don't understand the context for, and then they have these things to say. And it's like, if you are so upset about it, look into the podcast. You might just find it's going to be okay.
And then you said, well, we'll never liberate ourselves if we keep doing stuff like this, and you better be a baby. You said, I hope you're a child. You better be a child. And then they deleted their comment.
I know, they must have been so ashamed. I'm sorry, but it was you caught me on a bad day, and also it had to happen, it had to be said.
no, you are pretty Scorpio in the comments of everything. You are kind of that because
I am really, really, really friendly.
But you've earned it. You've been so attacked through those. I felt really targeted, and I was like, "This is what it's like to be when he posts reels." Because I feel like someone's calling me shrill or something like
right,
that, and
right,
I was like,
right.
"Oh, I feel sad." I feel
well. What's frustrating, and I know we all feel this. Those of us who post online, especially queer people that post online, what's frustrating is when you know you're already going to get the hate comments. You know that you're going to get the bigots, and then when you get people from your own community coming at you for dumb shit like that that's actually not even happening and like is not help, it's just like, what are we doing?
You want to be like diva pop? Listen, we don't have room for more haters.
No,
I'm gonna need
we're
you
at capacity.
Well, we talk about this all the time about how queer people eat their own.
Yeah,
we eat our own. We hold ourselves to unrealistic expectations, whereas straight people hold each other to no expectations. So then it allows them all to just like rise, and we're already in an industry where we are absolutely up against monsters,
yeah,
mountains,
yeah,
monuments. I don't know. We're up against a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's very, you know, beyond just queer people, we see this in just generally left of center people politically. Like, Republicans aren't getting mad at each other.
They're not. They're getting mad at Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen. Today, Donald Trump came for Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift. He came for me and my dad. Isn't that crazy?
He literally did. Wow.
Yeah, he said something really menacing about
Bruce Springsteen.
He should have just
at the Janda Boys in that one. Jeez.
I know. It's like, that's my whole family.
That's
that
crazy.
I know.
The boss, you're going to lose all of New Jersey.
I hope so.
And the Delwater Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I cannot wait to Google that. That's not just a band.
Well, they are a band Delwater too. Gap. But it's the Delaware Water Gap is right there.
Okay, freaking go off. I didn't realize you were Mr. Geography B. Whereas over here, I cheated to get into the Geography B in 2006, and then it was eliminated on the question, which was, remember?
Where is Tibet?
Yep, I don't know. The question was like, yeah.
Anyway.
Good for you for remembering that.
In general, just like, it's so frustrating when you see, I don't know, like, it's because they've turned the, with identity politics, I feel like the left-leaning people are, it's this morality competition rather than, like, an actual, you know, because they don't want us to have class solidarity, because that would actually threaten people in power, they want us to have this, like, weird morality identity competition, and it just leads to this weird infighting, plus the internet, where there's mostly children talking to each other, or people who are brain rot from the internet.
People who better be children.
You better be a child.
I don't know how old you are, but your reading level is fifth grade. It's fifth grade. It's Bridge to Terabithia. Spoiler alert, she
I
dies.
Think what I actually said was, my hope is that you're a child who just learned this and was really eager to share this information.
Have a lovely day. Connor is gay. Nico is trans. Have a lovely day.
Anyway, I don't want to be mad at people, but people poke the bear.
No. And then that one guy who made that joke about your phone case, and he said, this is a part of my costume.
I can't. And maybe I'm also part of the problem, because I get extra angry when it's gay people, because I'm like, can you not? It's like, because I expect.
That is so like straight guy coded. It's like, there's
bro,
no way.
We're not part of the problem.
You're totally not.
We're speaking truth to power.
But I do think that it is kind of it is queer representation to kind of admit no fault. Like, that is like, it feels like it's important that we are able to.
It's good.
Do that.
Yeah, of course. Nope. But I think when it is our own eating us, I get extra angry. It just enrages me in a way I can't handle.
No, but we talk about this all the time. This is like an ongoing, like, I really think it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, queer people. They hold each other to an impossible standard.
And it's so antithetical to queerness to be so hyper-labeling and so crazy about what those labels are, rather than being open to nuanced discussions about these intersections. Also, anybody who's, like, misreading that, it's like, yes, there are gay trans men, obviously. Queerness and gender are different. We know that, right? We're not children. But the identities of those groups are, like, that's what we're talking about. Like, how gay men as an identity and how trans men as an identity like interact with each other. And that is something we're talking about, because on the whole, as we know, there's transphobia within the gay community. So,
oh, I'll tell you, well, let's talk about that for, okay. So this man did comment. I know, I was really perplexed by this. Sometimes I wonder if I'm just being hard on gay guys. And
somebody's
like,
gotta.
Someone does have to. And I'm like, is it really just like three people online that are transphobic that are gay guys? And I'm like, I don't know. Because then this man did comment that he didn't have any, as a gay man, he said, I don't have anything in common with trans people for like XYZ. Like, I don't, my experience is not overlap with theirs.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you are a non-straight man, your experience overlaps. Like, I don't know. I think that's perplexing to me.
Yeah.
Yes, it does overlap. You're the other.
Yeah.
You're the fucking other. And you're also ugly. So, like, that's not saying that, like, you're even more other, is what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that Caitlyn's
No,
ugly.
I know.
But this person happens to be a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand this gay guy push to distance from transness. Like, there's this GLB movement on Twitter.
Well, you can't take the white man out of certain gay men.
Oh my God, say that. Literally say that.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of gay guys who are men first and gay second.
When it's easy.
And not even like that their presentation isn't that way. I just mean that, like, when push comes to shove, they will distance themselves because they can. And it's just like, to your point, it's like, no, you can't.
And then what it always comes back to is, it's like, if you think that Nikki Haley, if she's mad at trans people, you think she's going to like what you're doing with gender, you faggo mago?
Yeah,
like, I'm sorry,
like,
that's crazy.
Literally.
But it's like, you got glitter on your cheek, grow the fuck up. You got glitter on your cheek, you think she's going to be happy about that?
Yeah.
And I am.
Is
I'm
she
happy
the one that's Queen of the Shitter?
Nikki Haley.
Is she Queen of the Shitter?
No, that's Nancy Mace.
Nancy Mace.
We're
going to
go through every
God.
Republican woman.
Nancy Mace can suck it. She is so vile. There is a special place in hell for her right next to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Those two
she
are spawns of Satan.
She used to be normal. I forget when, but I Googled Nancy Mace gay people one time and she used to be fine.
Whatever. What the fuck happened? Like, what has
I think
happened?
People like realized they couldn't. I don't know if this is giving people too much credit, but I don't mean to give them any credit. But I think people were like, oh, we like can't defeat Trumpism. So we have to like, if there's a future for me in the Republican Party, it's like as a Trumper or not. And I don't know. I'm just like on the internet. I'm just chronically online.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's part of it. But it's just like, I feel like the brain rot in the last 5 years is like exponential. Yeah. I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know if it's the internet.
Maybe Nancy Mace has long Trump. COVID. She has long COVID. She's confused.
What if one of the side effects of long COVID is transphobia? Some Wait. People just have respiratory issues. Other will be transphobic. It's kind of, you never know what you're going to get.
Hey, your uncle just is not transphobic. He has long COVID. It's not his fault.
Dave Chappelle just has long COVID, okay? That's what happened.
That's like a really nice way. It's like, forgive your enemies. They have long COVID.
They have long COVID.
It's okay.
You know, there's a basketball player on the Celtics who has long COVID, and apparently he's like, he like kind of can't play anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Apparently he's never been the same.
Oh.
I know.
I'm scared that's going to happen. Like, the way you said never been the same, and there were air quotes, I was like, oh my God, be careful walking down the steps. Like, it could happen at any minute. Or something
oh
could happen
God.
That you're never the same.
I listened to a podcast yesterday with Tiffany Haddish. I didn't really know much about her like life story or anything, but she was raised in South Central LA, and her father left when she was quite young, and then her mom got in an accident, like a serious car accident when she was like 8, that changed her personality.
Oh my God.
And she was like really mean and angry after that, and like how difficult it was at like 8 years old to be like, I just want my mom back.
Ugh.
And not be able to like quite understand that.
Yeah.
God. But now obviously she's very successful, and I learned that she buys a lot of properties in South Central LA. When she does like a big movie, she'll buy like a property there and like rent it out to these like foster care like organizations to like house kids in the area that need like places to stay. I was like, that's so
interesting.
That always inspires me so much when I hear about people that make a living for themselves in that way and are like turning, I don't know. I just find that so fucking awesome.
No, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Sorry, I just thought of that because of the never been the same part.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on that part a little bit.
Sorry about that.
Mildly. That's like totally okay. I have nothing to say. What's my boys club? Okay, my boys club is I moved my whole apartment around.
Yes, that's why we're in the new space today. We are in now. We're in the podcast studio.
Is this room too small to have a sweet potato in here?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't smell like a sweet potato at all.
This is... Do you get why I hated this as a bedroom?
For sure. It's definitely like a... I think it works great as an office.
Yeah, this is my man cave. This is my den.
This is the boys club man cave.
This is where I go to kind of just get away from the world.
Yeah.
Where I go to check my accounts. Where I go to listen to people.
You know, chatterbait and whatnot.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I never hear them in there.
I know.
That's wild. Okay, yeah. How did you sleep with this? This is crazy.
Well, I used to live over a bar.
Of course, which is kind of like, you know.
And I could never
flying
get that
close
bar
to the
shut
sun
down.
There.
I'm not. I don't call the cops. However, if you live above a bar owned by a white man, you can call the cops on that bar. And actually, you're actually deterring the cops from other people if you bring them to the bar of the white man.
For
so
sure.
I actually was doing service.
For sure.
And I could not. I couldn't end that bar. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I tried for 2 years to get that bar closed.
No.
To close this straight-owned business. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, never move over a bar. They said it was a cafe. I'm not even kidding. When I moved in,
they called it a cafe.
Well, they said,
oh, the landlord called it a cafe.
Yeah, and it was during
COVID. That's a damn lie.
It was a lie.
Yeah, it was quiet during COVID. And now the bar has long COVID. The cafe has become a bar. The bar has long COVID.
It's just the worst fucking place. And then I did a stand-up show there. Bombed at a stand-up show there. And I was like, God, there's nothing redeeming about this bar.
Oh, my God. I did a show last night in a bagel shop where I accidentally misidentified a gay man as straight and made the other one quite upset. I'm so sorry if you're listening.
Well, he chose to dress that way.
He did. To be fair, in my defense, he did look very straight.
Hot. Was he hot?
So this is the problem. He was like a fine enough looking guy. It was not my taste.
Rowing is really hot. Rowing is like you're either tall or really little.
Anytime somebody says they row or sail, I'm always like, oh, I love any sport that is a $30,000 payment to enter. Anyway, he was nice, but I accidentally called him and his, who I now know, boyfriend, date, whatever. I said, oh, I love that there's a straight guy and a gay guy that are friends, and the gay guy or one of the gay guys goes, we're dating. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I've isolated the only allies I have in the room. Everybody else
was
is straight.
One of the people obviously gay. And then also, like, how come lacrosse guy
he wasn't like necessarily obviously gay, but when he raised his hand and said he was gay, I was like, okay, yeah, for sure.
Well, explain.
But like, also because I know what a gay man looks like.
As they're our brothers, they're our family, they're people we know, they're our neighbors. Do it scared, do it broke, just do it,
just do it.
And wait, so like, but why would, if you said who's gay here, how come the one that we already have closeted allegations against him did not raise his hand?
Exactly. It's like, if you're already, I mean, again, also to be fair.
And it sounds like he raised his hand for when they said who played rowing, you know, like his hand went up for that apparently.
Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I also feel bad when there's not any gay people there or like just a few and it's like, well, now I've called you all out to the audience too. Not just me.
It sounds like they can handle it.
No, they definitely can. I mean, we were in Williamsburg, for Christ's
sake.
I mean,
if it was like a gay child or something.
No,
like,
of course.
Who's gay? A little gay kid.
Hey-ya! I told you a gay kid came to my show in Berkeley. Did I tell you this?
No.
Shout out if you're listening or if your mom is listening. I was midway through my set and I was making fun of children as I want to do. And I noticed there's a child in the back and I was like, I'm so sorry to
this
the child
so
in the back.
This is so classic stand-up.
I didn't realize that there was a child in the back. And then afterwards, the guy was running I never told you any of this, did I? The guy who's running he was like my point of contact backstage and stuff. He was like, hey, somebody wants to come talk to you. Is it cool? It's like, it's the kid. And I was like, oh, sure.
It's a child.
That's fine.
And I know what you're thinking, but it's a child.
And the mom came back with her trans boy son, which was very sweet. Nice. He was like a soccer kid. And the mom goes, he's like a mini you.
That's so funny.
Which was very sweet. So that was cute. But did I tell you about the mannequin?
No.
Okay. The guy who was working there, he has like a teardrop tattoo under his eye. So who knows? Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. No, seriously. Such a sweetie.
No, I don't doubt it.
He came in, he gave me, he's like, I don't know if you partake, but we get 20% off at the weed store down the street. And I said, I'm in the right place. Thank you so much.
Nice.
And he gave me the coupon for that. Anyway, he comes back in and he goes, there's a woman here with a mannequin. What do you want me to do about it? And I didn't know that happened to fall under my jurisdiction. So I said,
did it buy a ticket or not?
You're ahead of me. So I go, yeah, like, I mean, as long as she's not gonna, not she the mannequin, she the woman, as long as she's not gonna yell out, like, I don't care.
As long as there's not a bomb in the mannequin.
Right, like, it's like as long as it's, she's gonna be quiet, I don't give a fuck.
You're gonna just sort of be like, why you got this mannequin?
Right, and so then he goes back out to deal with it. I open my phone, and I go into my requests, my DM requests, and somebody had said, look out for the mannequin. And I'm like, oh my God. So I look and it's like a college student. So I'm like, all right, this is probably fine. Like I wanted to be sure it wasn't like some crazy man.
You are a trans man. Like I just feel like you are a targeted class of person and it's just like, pull that shit somewhere else. You know what I mean? Pull this shit.
So wait for this. So also I just want to like preface as well. Like anytime I'm on the road and you know this too, like we're coming in as gay artists and it's not like they're getting gay people at comedy clubs five nights of the week, right? They're getting them like a couple times a month, like, you know, so it's like it's a totally different audience than they're probably used to. It's like less straight people than they're used to. It's like, okay, an army of lesbians has descended on this venue in Berkeley, which is like not out of the blue for Berkeley, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, yes. I'm already dealing with the fact that I'm super gay, my audience, like whatever, this man is straight, he's dealing with all this, it's totally fine, whatever.
Did the woman have a mannequin? It was a woman with a
mannequin. And so I wanted to be sure, because he just said a person with a mannequin, and so I wanted to be sure it wasn't like a man or somebody crazy, so I went to my DMs.
That's why, was it a woman?
And double checked, and it was like like a student, like a Berkeley student.
The only binary is that there's one gender that can bring a mannequin and one where that's not going to be okay.
Literally. No, I put a hard stop on men bringing mannequins to my show. But anyway, so I look, it's like a young woman. So I'm like, all right, it's probably fine. Whatever. He comes back in and he goes, so she says she's been in a relationship with the mannequin for the last 5 years. And I'm going,
and I'm single. And can you believe this?
And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy who works here must be like, what in the fuck kind of sideshow gay ass shit is this thing? Like, and I've been thinking, like, Berkeley is outdoing itself. Like, this is way gayer than Berkeley, I would even think. And so then that's what I said. Well, did the mannequin buy a ticket? It's a joke. Anyway.
So where did the mannequin sit?
Stage left. And it was like, I was like, oh, is that a mannequin? And then she was like, yeah. And I was like, and I just like kind of riffed something stupid.
So you met the woman?
No.
You didn't see her?
No. Well, because then part of me was like,
I just want to know, what does a woman who dates a mannequin look like? Just, I have to understand.
Like, I couldn't even really see her from where I was, like from the stage that well.
I'm just picturing like, Ellie Kemper.
Maybe. I don't know. But I mean, Love and Light. I'm hoping that that's a great
loving. No, we're totally into this. We loved the movie Her. I dated a guy who that was his favorite movie one time.
Oh my God, wait. Jesse Ballard was at a conference recently for her job where they were talking about AI and they were listening to like some AI robot do a Zoom call, which is like so gross. Anyway, they asked the AI what her favorite movie was and she said Her. And I was like, that is some pick me ass shit.
Wait, now that I think about it. Oh, my dad told me not to bring up anyone I've ever dated anymore on the podcast, but he's not here right now.
Listen,
sucker.
He is not an EP on this podcast.
It kind of is funny that to date a man whose favorite movie is Her, because it's about fake love.
Wait, it's a week. That's a joke. I have to go write a joke.
I have to go right now. Where's my typewriter? Like, that's of course a joke.
Oh yeah,
but it's also
oh, yeah.
the truth. It was.
Oh yeah.
Movie.
Oh
but it
yeah.
never occurred to me. I always thought it was a little weird because it's just like, what a dumb movie. But like,
no, totally.
Oh my God, that's a metaphor for everything about. Oh my yeah. God. Wait, yeah. I have closure now. Okay. Shit. You never know.
You never know when Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson are going to bring you the closure you need.
Also, it's like you're paying for Scarlett Johansson and I would like her face. Like, I think her face should be in
literally.
The movie.
I mean, she's got a gorgeous voice, but she's got a face for TV.
She should have been in
film. Anyway, so that was my mannequin story.
What if they just had like in the corner of the movie, just like her in her house doing, then all these people would get freaky with it, but she'd be like, hey, like doing her voice over yeah. in the corner. That's what yeah. I wanted to see.
No, totally.
When you were a kid and you would like watch like an animated show and then like sometimes they would show you what the actor really looked like, where you're like, I didn't realize Phil was a 55-year-old woman on Rugrats. Like, that's not what Tommy Pickles is like an old lady, no offense. All
that's
love.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess now, yeah. I'm trying to think if I ever...
Should we make a Rugrats reboot? Because we have to do something that's IP if we wanted to sell.
Oh my Christ, I know, right?
I'll do it.
Is there any IP that's worth it?
Rugrats, but like, are they adults?
You know what's fucked too is now they want you to make the IP to make it. Who was it that was?
I
like,
don't know. It was Pink Pancake. And I was kind of confused by it.
Oh yeah, they were telling us that they wanted
be your own IP.
Somebody wanted Pink Pancake to write the book to then adapt into a show, and it's like, what are we doing?
I don't know. People don't even read. Why would we write a book?
Literally, a book right it's now. Like okay, so spend the money to not have the book sell because books don't sell.
No. No.
Whatever. I mean,
like to be an author, as Zach Zimmerman explained to us on this podcast, does sound cool. But at what cost?
In actuality.
Maybe I'll write a children's book. I just like don't even know a child. So like what would I even write about? I don't know. Should we write inner children's books? Okay, that's fun.
We could book for your inner child.
We could write, is that our third sketch? Inner children's books?
This is a book for your inner child. That could be like a funny like job.
Reading your inner child.
That could
story
be a funny
night.
Like job interview thing.
Okay, that's the third one in our packet. That's for no one, just
for
like
no
for
one,
general,
a packet for us.
Kind of like for the interweb. The general, like, we become sketch artists.
Yeah. Okay, what was your boys' club again?
Well, here's the thing. So
oh,
like,
you read it to your
this
room.
This used to be my bedroom, and it's crazy that now it's like on the television. Or like,
well, it's not your bedroom anymore. So.
No longer my bedroom.
Yeah.
No longer my bedroom. Now it's my den.
And I maybe already asked you this, but you had somebody come change this all around?
Yeah, a guy named Kyle who's foreign.
Wow.
Yeah. He was so competent, like hammer, like there, he kind of had to do the thing to the door to get, can you believe this couch to fit through that door?
Oh, he took that off so it could get through here.
Uh-huh. Not if the landlord knows, but like, yeah, this is correct.
No, I mean, I would never
I
know.
Said, whatever it takes, just get that fucking couch in. I said, whatever it takes. And you know that in times of need, I'll do whatever
That's
it takes.
What he said.
I said, get it.
Whatever it takes, just get it in there.
whatever you need there. Oh, that's so inclusive that you said whatever he said. It's so nice to gay guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever he said, just get it in there. It's true. It's hard sometimes. It's so little.
You know what my favorite joke about anal sex is?
I hope it's mine.
Well, other than yours. Other than yours. Because it's similar to yours, kind of. Rory Scovel has a joke about anal sex in his first, well, one of his Netflix special, where he's like, anytime you do anal sex, it's kind of like when somebody trying to put a lime into a Corona. And you're, totally. And they're like, it'll go. It'll go. Like, it will go. And then the other part of you is thinking, who cut these?
Yeah. And totally.
Oh, it's so funny.
That's funny.
It's so good.
Yes, one of the first drinks I ever had was a little pony bottle. Is that what it's called?
Oh, the tiny ones? A mini one? Yeah.
With a lime in it. And my dad gave it to me. I think he didn't realize I was an alcoholic.
He didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
What age were you?
Probably 16.
My dad was so intense about drinking growing up. It was crazy. He was so intense about it. He really made us all.
That's good.
I mean, like, yes, probably. But it's also just like, it didn't need to be that intense.
Totally.
I was so not drinking that it was like, you're wasting your energy.
I'm torn on this. I don't know. Like, if I had a child soon, I don't know if what I would. No, I'd probably be like terrified that they would be. I'm so worried my brother's going to be an alcoholic. I'm worried they are alcoholics. I should just get into that.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. I don't know if I should say this. Whatever.
No, it's hard to figure out what to say, isn't it? It's hard. We're out here. We're censoring in the moment.
We're censoring in the moment. Okay. Well, this is all I'll say. So my cousin is getting married. His mom is not part of our. She married into our like family, and they got divorced when I was like 11, 12, maybe many, many years ago. So I haven't seen this woman since I was 12, and I'm gonna see her at this wedding, and she has quite the drinking problem.
Have you Googled her?
I don't know. I don't think there's much to Google, to be honest. I think she's just like living her life.
You forgot there's people that aren't on Google.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just people that don't necessarily live public lives. But I'm so. Perfect. This is be the one of the first times I will see somebody who like didn't see me.
Oh my god!
For so many years.
Yeah.
And now is gonna see me, and there's gonna be like, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to deal with that. I'm like, can somebody preface for me? Can somebody tell her? I hate having these conversations.
Wait, do you think she doesn't know?
I have no idea.
You're pretty online.
Well, I don't know if she like looks, because last she knew me was by my old name. So like, I don't even know like if she would know anything about, I don't know to the extent, because she's not part of our family.
There needs to be someone in your family who's kind of the point person for this.
I know, my grandmother.
Yeah, there. Wait, the one, the farm one?
No, KK.
Would this one be good at kind of just like facilitating all new information to people? I mean,
I don't know if she'd be good at it, I think. Mm. I mean, she's the one who came, who loved The Voice and loved, that guy, Sasha Allen, who was on The Voice, who's a trans guy, and was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She also has a lot of gay friends, my grandmother.
And
so
she lives in California.
She lives in my parents' house in Atlanta.
Just kidding.
But she half the time she goes out to Laguna Beach and hangs out with her gay boys.
The idea of going to Laguna Beach and hanging out is so enchanting.
I know. She's a 70-plus-year-old woman who is hanging out with her gay friends in Laguna Beach on the reg.
That's cool.
Sometimes she goes to Vegas to see my aunt and uncle. She lives quite the life.
That's what I want for my future.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay, the reason that I moved my bed is because I was like, I can't, like, how many days can I wake up in this room, in this life? I just, like, I can't keep waking up here. Every day I would wake up and I'd be like, it was like Truman Show.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I doing? Who am I? It was like Garden State, even worse. Yeah. I was like, I have to get out of here. And then it reminded me when I was 20 years old and I lived in New York for the summer, and I was like having a major relapse the whole summer. I was just like insane. And then my dad came and visited, and he took me because I guess I like needed him to. And then he took me to a Mets game, which I asked him to take me to. I don't know. And then we stayed in this like hotel in Chinatown. And then the moment I got, oh, but the important part of the summer was that my bed was 7 feet off the ground. I swear to God, it was so lofted. I would have to climb up and down it all the time, wasted. And then sometimes I was too drunk, so I'd just pee in the bed. Awful. And then because I had two other guys in the room, Evan and Pat. Pat's married now. Evan's not, but he lives with his partner in Harlem. And
okay,
and he's the one who told me about Queer as Folk. So he kind of changed my life. And one time I stole coconut ice cream from him, and I think about that every time I see it at Trader Joe's. Like, I was drunk and I ate his ice cream.
Oh.
I should apologize.
Did you buy a new one?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I should. Yeah. I know, but I still think about it. Anyway, but then I got home from that Mets game, and I was like, I cannot keep living like this. I cannot keep climbing, not the alcohol part, just the ladder part. I was like, I cannot keep climbing this.
You're like, there's a problem here, and it's not the Bacardi. It is the bunk bed.
Bacardi turkey trail. What's that turkey one?
Oh,
wild
God.
Turkey.
Wild turkey.
Yeah, I was like a wild turkey guy that summer. Okay. I was like a wild turkey.
Give me the cheap stuff.
That's cheap.
Give me that well stuff.
That's cheap. Well, the guy was really mad when I stole it from him. So it's like it's such a crazy joke. It's crazy to feel shame and be like, you don't have to feel shame for that. So I go like, yeah, live out loud. I know. Live out loud.
And to be fair, I think when you're underage, all alcohol is precious. Just having it is precious. Really is. It doesn't matter if it's good or not. Yeah, you don't even really have a taste for it yet.
I stole it from this like 20-year-old who was really like a 45-year-old man.
I remember being in like a freshman in college, and that was really the first time I ever really drank, and being able to just like drink vodka straight up. Because yeah. I don't think I had a taste yet or like a sense yet that it was gross, but like now the thought of that makes me gag.
It has been a long time. I used to really love the flavored stuff, but then I couldn't eat Greek yogurt because I was so good. Like the fruitiness of it would just be like,
ugh. Oh my God. One of my friends, her mom owns like a catering company and they catered something in Philly for like a big rapper one time. So he ordered a bunch of fancy something.
Svedka.
Fancier than that. Ciroc.
I never got into
a Ciroc. Bunch of Ciroc. Well, it's expensive. They had like a bunch of different flavors of Ciroc that they didn't end up drinking. So her mom had all this extra Ciroc that she sent us for like our senior week. So we had like really nice. Like that was the type of stuff where I was like, oh, you could probably drink this straight up. It's not that bad.
Okay, interesting. Did you see how I encountered a bottle of Old Spice? I always conflate these. Spice.
Yes, you put that on your story.
I just saw an unopened bottle with a bouquet sitting on the street as if it was for me.
That feels like it's like wasn't. Somebody who got. Like that feels like a really fucked up way to pay tribute to somebody who died drunk driving.
A cyclist. Yes. No, totally. Like there was a cyclist died here.
Yeah.
And here's a bottle of rum that you could relapse on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally.
I know, it's like, what's the story there? Did somebody lose? Yeah, that just feels bad. That feels like really something wrong happened.
It was quite ominous. Okay, so I get home from the Mets game. And the only reason we went to Mets game is because I was trying to, I was trying to figure out like what's, like, I don't know why I was a Mets fan.
Who you were.
Because Lady Gaga was a Mets fan. I'm barely a fan of her. I don't know why it made me a Mets fan.
Sure.
So I walk in and I just was like, I put my fucking mattress on the ground. And I said, no more. And then I slept on the ground for the rest of the summer. And that's kind of how this felt, where I was like, I refuse to wake up in this room anymore.
Take charge of your space.
Take charge. Because I love the other room.
Be your own interior designer.
Also, a guy told me I should switch these. And then I was like, okay, well, that is what happened.
And the truth comes out.
A gay guy literally is
a grinder man?
Yes. This man was like, you should switch these.
There's a like, lot okay, of power of the grinder database.
Yeah. That's so true. Literally, like, that guy changed my life.
Yeah. It's like we could be out here raising money. We could be out here rallying the troops. No, me and I mean the Grindr base.
Should I go to Grindr and be like, instead, GoFundMe, link in bio?
We can't do it. Honestly, Grindr HQ, if you're listening.
Well, there's always someone who's like Jen. Like actually this one guy who's like generous reached out, but he's like looking for bottom. It'd be like Jen. I'd be like, I'm not a bottom. But it's like, but if you have $7,000, it's $7,000. So like if you're going to pay us, yeah, I'll do anything to get this fucking thing made.
Wait, time out. What does generous mean?
Oh, generous means, oh my God, I'm so excited to teach you something.
Ding, ding, ding.
Generous means that he will give you money. He's like a sugar daddy.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, there's like this whole network of gay sugar daddies that no one has ever introduced me to, and they've never reached out or shown interest, which no problem. But they do things like they buy young gay guys things like tables at big benefits that I would like to go to.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing that I was not being invited to until I learned about it.
I didn't.
We should go to a benefit.
Is there like a like it's like when you're on Grindr and you could be like bare top generous?
No.
Okay.
To filter generous is like. I'm
generous is like low key.
Gen.
It's like DL.
It'd be like GEN. Yeah.
But you put that in yourself. It's not like a category that Grindr like allows you to select.
And then sometimes a guy is just like 55 years old, like unemployed, really unattractive. And then his bio will be like, not Gen. And it's like, well, then what are you? If you're not going to be generous, then you're going to need to be something.
Okay.
Get it together.
It's like, I think the assumption is if you don't put Gen, then it's not going to be a transactional agreement, right?
Yes.
Obviously, I believe sex work should be legalized, but is it legalized? Or is prostitution illegal?
I don't know.
But like, what is that? Where do those lines draw? Like, if you're Jen and you get caught, like, is that... Like, what? Where do these relations? Well, I you know think what that I
there's
mean?
A thing where it's like you're not paying for sex; you're paying
for companionship like that leads your
friend,
to sex.
You're giving your friend money.
No, totally. You're but giving it's
your,
like
you're getting money from your friend Harvey, who lives in the West Village in a brownstone.
My understanding of these types of arrangements would be that like there's a spectrum of it where it's like there's some guys who just want a companion or just somebody to talk to, but then there's also like the other end of the spectrum is like. Sex.
Wait, we'd be so good at the companion part because we just talk.
No, totally. It's like, hey, you can pay $7,000 to sit here on the couch.
No, literally. Have you seen Garden State? Nah. I always fast forward to the part where Natalie Portman comes on. Nah, I love the soundtrack. What was AIDS like? Every time I meet an old guy, I ask that. I'm like, what was AIDS like? This is the issue that I keep having is I keep watching these AIDS documentaries because I become like fascinated by it. And then I'm like, because I get so mad at the gay community, but then I watch a documentary about AIDS and I'll be like, oh my God, we've just really been through it.
Yeah.
Like, I need to give this community, like, it's weird because we're weird. We really are a weird group, but then we've also been through so much.
Well, that's what's tough. It's like every collectively and individually, most gay people experience a trauma of some kind. You know, some people don't as much, other people do a lot more, but like, that's the other part that's frustrating, not to get back to like our beginning conversation about eating our own. It's like, oh my God, we all have it so tough. Why are we being tough on each other?
I know.
You know?
No, for sure.
And collectively, of course, like, and obviously that relates mostly to gay men and an extended community of folks that have sex with them. But
yeah,
like, you know, yeah, it's like there's been so much systemic trauma and, you know, medical trauma. It's just like, Can we all just be friends?
And you know what? I'm going to report live from the front lines of the kickball team I'm joining.
You're joining a kickball team?
Do you want to join it too?
I'll play. When is it?
Shut up. Do you want to join a gay kickball team with me?
I thought you already like had one lined up.
If I do, would you join it?
I would, yeah.
In the same way that you all do the amazing race if you get us on. Huge caveat. Okay. Huge caveat.
Well, obviously, if you get it, like, how would we do the amazing race if you didn't get us
Well,
on?
It's hard to apply and be like, trust me, he'll do it. If he,
no. Okay. Well, you have to, loop me in on the application process. No, but genuinely, if you need somebody.
Wait, you want to join? Oh my God. We should totally join a gay kickball.
I would totally do it. You know, I can kick pretty far.
Right. I know. And that would kind of balance each other out in that way because I don't know that I can make contact at all. Like, you're supposed to use the side of your foot, not the front of your foot. And
well, you don't want to use your toe, but you can put your laces down and kick through your laces, or you can do it inside of the foot.
Wait,
you come to practice sometime, and I'll teach you like I teach the girls.
Oh, pilot? Okay. Wait, that's so funny.
Oh, my God. I really ripped into one of them the other day.
Why? You can talk about it if you want, but you don't have to.
Okay, unnamed child, not wearing the right uniform shirt, which I don't give a fuck. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Is it the right color?
No. Not wearing the right practice shirt. That's fine. They have a practice shirt they're supposed to wear. She's 3? She's 8.
Oh, totally.
And then she goes, I never wear it. I don't like wearing it. And I go, oh, you think everybody else should wear it, not you? You think everybody else on the team has to wear this, but not you? Do you think you're better than the rest of them? Do you want to tell that to your teammates?
Oh, my God.
And she went, no.
She said, here's a Snickers. Maybe he's just hungry.
She's
okay.
Literally. No, I know. That was that's my Scorpio coming out.
Wait, I have to say okay, I'll tell you what. I don't know if I'm gonna get in trouble for my work.
She's a pain in the ass.
I don't think I would. I'm really nice at work and so are you. But then sometimes someone will just like not I'll take a spring off a machine. I'll be like, your form is really bad. Like, I use it for safety, you should take this off. And then people will add it back, always a man will add it back on, and then I'll be like, you do what you need to do. Take whatever I say with a grain of salt. I am a 7-year highest rank senior XYZ, whatever. But you do what you want to do. You do what you need to do. If you don't trust, okay.
I know.
And I said all of that today on the mic. Today.
That happened to me before. Maddie gave me a hard time. But I felt my dad come out of me, which is always a scary thing. But not always. Shout out to my dad.
There's a moment where you're like, oh crap, I've lost sight.
Well, because one time this girl was really not listening and not paying attention. And I was like, listen, I've played more soccer than you'll ever play.
Oh my God, why is it so menacing? And why did I feel like her? Like I felt like.
I know. Here's the thing though, when it comes to working with children and like coaching, it's like my job is to make you guys be safe, have fun, like learn something about this game and be better teammates to each other.
Wait, did you really say that then you'll ever play part?
Yes. It's the truth.
Her dream's over before it started.
It was. She was not good.
She's walking home. She's like noticing pottery studios all of a sudden. And she's like, oh, there's other things I could
do. She's already not paying attention enough that she doesn't even remember that. I just like, you can't be 12 and crying because you can't do something. I'm sorry.
She's 12.
12.
That's tough.
That's a lot.
When I was 12, I was like, had an eating disorder.
I wouldn't say that to an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
But 12, yeah.
That's good that you...
I tailor how much of a dick I am depending on how old they are.
Are you mean to the 3-year-olds?
No. What are you going to do with them? With them, it's mostly just like really worrying about like safety and making sure they're not like hitting each other and shit because they're just like crazy.
Totally.
Yeah. No, but anyway, so when you're being an asshole to your teammates, I think it's all well within my right to be like, hey, that's not right.
Maybe they respond good to high expectations. I think we need high expectations in this world.
I think so too. And I am like, listen, I always tell them, I say the soccer's great. It's the listening that's not good.
You know this thing where it's like everybody gets a trophy? I think the lie that we've been told is that a trophy's so great. It's not about the trophy. It's about the journey.
It's about the journey. It's about the friendships.
It's like everyone should get the journey.
It's about the friendships.
That's so beautiful.
Especially with sports, with like youth sports, I'm like, none of y'all are going to play professionally. Maybe one of you will play in college.
You know that then I'm going to bring up theater now.
And it's like... what you need to do is learn how to be better communicators, teammates, friends. That's why you do this. And learn. And I told them, I want you guys to learn what you're capable of, even when you think something's hard.
Oh my God. Literally sobbing. Put you on a SoulCycle bike. Watch you shine.
Can you believe you did this on a fucking Monday?
Can somebody make some fucking noise? Can you believe we just started a fucking Monday? Or a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah, I can believe it. We signed up for the SoulCycle class.
I am a gay guy in New York. I do believe I've completed a group fitness workout. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, that's funny. Well, my new thing, my big thing in group fitness, I'll say this to anyone, is you need to be able to look at your neighbor. You need to be able to look at your neighbor. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Mm. If you don't, like I every time I go to a SoulCycle class, they're like, oh, I'll make this fast. They'll be like, say hi to your neighbor. You need to be able to say hi to your neighbor. With that being said, if you say hi to your neighbor and like sometimes people try to like take advantage of the situation,
yeah.
Don't do that. You have to be friendly, but also social cues are important.
What do you mean by take advantage of the situation?
Okay. So if like some people try to have too much of a conversation, if you say hi and they're like, oh my God, I love your top. And they say, thank you. The conversation is over. Mm. If they say, I love your top, and they say, it's from Zara, they're having a huge sale. You're friends now. You have a conversation. They're open to friendship.
Yeah.
Not everyone has to be open to friendship, but you have to be nice. You have to be nice, but you don't need to be open to friendship. That's important. So it's kind of like a balance. I guess everyone's wrong.
Yeah.
But then also at SoulCycle, sometimes they're like, look at your neighbor and say you're a fucking badass. And it's like, no, that one's on you.
Yeah. You need to don't put the words in my mouth. Let me express myself how I express myself.
Because then I'll just be like, good job.
You're a fucking badass.
You're a fucking badass slut whore. Like, come on, man. I can't be walking around.
You just called me a slut whore. Can I switch bikes? I can't get the feet out.
You're fucking fat as you slut. It's hard to get the feet out.
I know.
That's a safety hazard.
I was listening to, I think it was Lisa Traeger, shout out, former guest of the pod, was on Gabby Windy, shout out, future guest of the pod, was talking about, they were talking about Robbie doing SoulCycle.
Can't even imagine that.
And how funny it was that, like, I think she couldn't get the shoes off or something, and she was trying to get off the bike, but the shoes were stuck.
The whole scene is so crazy.
To get it in and out.
Like, I'm used to it now, but it is kind of just like, when I sprained my ankle when I would still do SoulCycle, the only part that hurt was, like, getting the ankle out.
Well, here's what I don't understand about it. And somebody, and maybe you, tell me if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's like, what's wrong with just, like, a bike that has like a little strap over the pedal?
Well, I don't know. I think it's good to be clipped in. I think you can really go all out, give it your all, kind of go hard to the wall.
But like if you have a thing, because you know the bikes that have like a little thing over the top and you just like put your regular shoe in. And
I
then
feel like
just,
that puts your heel in a weird spot. Am I wrong? Guess
me. I don't know. But that's why
it
I'm
feels
asking.
Very, you feel very free when you're clipped in. Like you're really free to freaking go off.
Free because you're locked the fuck in.
But then one time my shoe totally literally popped out and when I was going really fast and I was at SoulCycle Chelsea under the High Line.
Whoa.
And then I was like, okay, so like this could have been awful, but it was fine because like it wasn't fine. But like that's like kind of a safety hazard.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be doing spinning, but we should be doing, I know I said cardio is bad, but I'm doing this thing called the Norwegian 4x4.
Cardio is not bad. Cardio is actually, we all need to do cardio because it's good for our heart health and our cardiovascular health.
It's funny that you say that. I'm trying to do my VO2 max.
Everything is good in moderation.
Do you know what VO2 max is? Wait, you're totally right. Because here's the thing, everything is good in moderation, but then I did the Norwegian 4x4 5 days in a row, and one day I did a 5x4. So I was like, oh my God, I'm addicted to this. I can't stop. That's where it becomes a problem.
Well, Yeah, maybe.
But there's such a high to being like, I can do this. I can do anything.
To accomplish something, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, open your laptop. I don't know, write a joke. I don't know. Call your dad. And I do. Anyway. I'm trying to change my VO2 max. I'm trying to get it higher or lower. I kind of forget which direction I'm trying to move, but like, I'm trying to just make it perfect. I don't know.
Now, what is that going to do for your life?
Right. I'm just worrying about that. This is, we need a guest here because the guest, I think the guest is what sucks up all this part of the conversation.
But what is this going to do to your life if your VO2 max is anything but what it is right now?
You're right. I'm not trying to live that long.
Right. Well, okay. Don't say that.
I mean, like, I'm not trying to be the last one here.
No, definitely. Certainly not. But also like, is that really gonna, how's this gonna change what you want to do in the next 5-10 years?
Bro, wait a minute. I've lost sight of the goal.
It's okay.
I always lose sight of the
goal. It's not about losing sight. It's just like,
I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser.
I know, don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, you know what's something I've been talking about with my therapist? What? You guys are getting the real thing today. I realized I have this like this thing I do where I'll like, do you do this? Where you'll like, if you have a situation where you feel like you'll replay it over and over in your head and like, oh, what if I said this? Or what if I said this?
Yeah, like, from like 6 years ago.
Yes.
I'm on the beach in Rhode Island. Sorry, Dad.
We won't say which beach.
My dad has said, well, it's good that you're over that.
They take it. But this is what he doesn't understand. It's not linear.
It's not linear.
It's a cycle. It's a cycle. These things come up over and over again until the waves get smaller. And
relapse
and smaller
really is part
and smaller
of a recovery.
And smaller.
Oh, that's
smaller.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wait, that's beautiful. You should put that in your inner child's book. That's actually really beautiful.
Yeah. That's and really nice. I think that's part of the. Anyway, I'm realizing that in therapy, but I was talking to him about this and all these, like, whatever. What does he call it? Reenactments.
That was so nice. That's reenactments. That was really beautiful. He taught you that?
Yeah.
Reenactments?
Because it made me think about Gestalt's chair therapy. I almost brought it up to him, but I was like, I don't know if I want to do all that.
Gestalt's the kind of thing you really want to do by yourself with your God. Like, not in front of your gay therapist. Like, no, man. Like, that's not. That's tough.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I want to bring Gestalt into this. I can do Gestalt on my own time.
There's nothing more. Little face on Zoom and you're like, I was
and
really.
And then this. And then you hurt me this way. And he's saying, a cat scampers by him.
Gestalt chair therapy is probably the most vulnerable thing that you can do.
Yeah.
I think that should be behind a paywall. That's what you're doing on OnlyFans, is Gestalt chair therapy.
If you pay us $20 a month, you get to see us do Gestalt's chair therapy. For anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's you put somebody in, you put a chair in a room and you talk to it as if somebody who's harmed you from your past is sitting there.
Or it could even be your inner child. It could be your
future
self. Oh, you
can talk to anybody.
It could be anybody. It could be, yeah.
Yeah. But
alive or
whoever
dead.
It's obviously a very vulnerable, one-sided conversation.
Wait, no one would be like, who would you have dinner with, living or dead? It should be like, who is in your Gestalt's chair?
This is my Gestalt's chair dinner.
We'll just start asking
men
that.
It's my ex. It's my inner child. It's my future self. It's this guy who wronged me once at the gym. It's, yeah.
You know that's going to be someone's pilot.
Oh my God. Yeah. Give us credit. Give us credit if you're writing it.
Please give us credit for that.
But no, I was thinking of you and the Gestalt chair because I was like, this feels similar. But anyway.
I loved that wave thing.
Yeah. Well, that's something I felt like I realized in transition that was happening, where I would have these phases where I would like feel really good about myself and then I would kind of come back to this same sort of insecurity, and I was like, fuck, I thought I got through this, I thought I had conquered that, and I haven't. And then I realized it was like this cyclical thing, and then every time it comes back you just want it to be a little bit smaller and a little bit less of a problem and a little bit smaller and a little bit less of a problem until it's like really not a big deal anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if you actually, and I was learning this because I have a tendency to suppress. When I don't want to deal with something, I'll just like not deal with, you know, just suppress it or whatever, or ignore it or try not to feel it. And that doesn't let it make it smaller. It stays the same when it comes back to you. So every time it comes to you, you have to like feel it, deal with it, whatever. So then next time you know, you recognize what is happening and you know how to deal with it because you already tried to deal with it at least once.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I was listening to Florence and the Machine. I was listening to Shake It Out.
For why?
To to feel the feelings of.
Gonna burn into
the. No, that one is shake it out, ooh, oh, shake it out. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back, so shake him off, ooh, oh. Do you know that one?
Of course.
That's a great song.
I know Shake It Out. I know Queen of Peace. I know Cosmic Love.
Cosmic Love is a beautiful song. Dog Days Are Over.
Yes.
She's writing just like ethereal music that like connects you to the god.
Yeah, she's
above.
Really
I don't
best.
Know. It's really quite something.
My version of reenactments, I think I live a lot in the past.
Mm.
And then it makes it, it's weird because it's like a lot of things that I'm just like, these beliefs that are always true. That's like, I work out like this. I do this. I am this. And then it's like, these that are always around, that it's hard to be like I think with you know, the artist way, when it says, we talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
but it says like, what five lives would you live,
sure.
or your,
yeah.
whatever, and it's like, okay, well, like what five what how could you apply, I feel like that activity could be applied to your literal life right now, like what things that are you believe about yourself that are like maybe not even true.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I don't know, like we both are very structured,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, well, what parts of the structure are things that are true to us, and what parts are like manufactured or like things from the, I don't know.
I feel like this life I'm living now, like my day-to-day now, is forcing me to have to let go of some structure,
mm.
because my schedule is super dynamic and mm. no 2 days are the same, which I like, but I also think is like, for a long time was really difficult for me because I was feeling like this lack of control over it and feeling like, and my response to that was like wanting myself to do more rather than like just like being like taking it day by day and being like, what do I actually have time for? What's yeah. a real priority? What actually needs to get done? When do you have a show?
Mm-hmm.
When do you need to be ready for it? You know, those kinds of things. Like, are we actually in pre-production for something, or like, can you wait for this? You know? And I think like it sort of has forced me to have to like reckon with that instead of like forcing a schedule on myself.
Yeah.
But it's a battle every day. I still feel like I'm constantly battling that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, we're always at war with ourselves.
Yes. Well, the other thing my therapist talks about with me is like dealing with my inner critic
mm.
and that voice being so loud and like recognizing it, thanking it for being there to protect me and like, but being like, you're not necessary right now. I'm okay. Nothing's happening.
Yes.
I'm not at risk. You're here to protect me because you're worried that I'm going to be unsafe.
Yeah, you always think you're going to fight a bear.
Yeah.
But you're not. That's where beta blockers are actually nice.
Yeah. And even like recently I was having like, I was feeling, I mean, I'm giving so much away on the podcast today. You guys are really lucky. I was having this like, my reenactments were a lot about this like homophobic thing that happened to me in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I was realizing a lot of it was rearing its head because I was really nervous about these shows coming up in this like straight venue or straight leaning venue and like the pressure of that or feeling like, oh fuck, like what is going to happen if whatever, you know, like ruminating on that. And then like the feeling of a real homophobic thing that happened, you know, was like coming to me as a, and like, and having to sit there and be like, oh, this is just crafted by my shadow self, my inner critic, who's like wanting to protect me from something that really did happen once, but like is not a real threat anymore. And yeah. isn't really a threat coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like projecting that onto it. Mm-hmm. So like getting better at like, I don't know, thanking it for trying to protect me, but being like, this is an outsized react. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably really hard in the state of the world where like so much
yeah.
evidence that you have from your day to day, like does not support that any of that homophobic thing is an actual threat.
Right.
You do
yeah.
shows all the time. You crush on shows all the time. You're in rooms all the time where you're the star of the room.
Yeah.
But then that thing that then on you get in the world, it's like, queerness, transness, it is so like war tool.
Yeah.
And then, but then you have those memories that yeah. like support and they like work together.
Well, what's weird too, like I'm sure you feel this too, but like I know I certainly over the last couple of years I've felt this quite acutely, like the difference between how I find my transness is treated by real people in real life, especially because I'm somebody who talks about it in public to rooms of people who have maybe never considered that before.
Yeah.
Is vastly different than like the sort of homophobia, transphobia I'm experiencing like through the news and the internet.
Yeah.
And like the state of the, and obviously like, you know, whatever, but those are real threats and that actually is happening. And like, there are real things happening, but it's just so weird because it's like, I've so rarely have had real experiences
mm-hmm.
where people have said weird shit to me.
Yeah.
Or I felt like, oh, this room hates me because I'm trans. Like, that almost never happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's very strange.
Just that one man who was a booker who knows who's now booking something else.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy. John, whatever the fuck his name is.
You want to say it?
Stand right up now. New York. Fuck you, man.
He's a side.
Justice for all but one side.
A couple sides. Like, it's a pretty tough. Could you imagine a room of side? God, we wouldn't get anything done. Like, oh, my God.
Come on. It'd be blowjob city.
It would get a ton done. So side is the future.
I think so too. I mean, no, because
he commented on my
listen,
reel. I feel seen.
He did.
Yes. And it's like, well, this reel is actually in the third person. I'm not a side. I know a side. That's why I'm making this reel. That is so crazy.
That man is insane. Most people that run comedy stuff are insane, though.
Yeah,
that is true. That is
no,
true.
For sure, yeah. For sure, for sure, for sure, for sure,
yeah.
For sure. What except else? Unless the ones that you, unless you want to book me.
Yeah, unless you're looking crazy. To book us, then we absolutely love you.
We're obsessed with you.
What else is going on? Anything else we want to do before we wrap up?
We're shooting 3 more episodes.
Yeah, we can talk
about
that.
Oh, we're shooting
3
more episodes.
Yeah, let's talk about
wait,
that.
Wait, thank you to everyone that donated.
Seriously,
money,
you guys are incredible. We had like
150
people donate, and yeah. Every dollar is so important when it's all going to making this happen. And
like earnestly, from the bottom actually of our human souls, like,
seriously,
thank you so much.
No, genuinely. I mean, we have 12 grand we didn't have before, and
yeah.
It's all going to go to the production, and it's all going to go to hardworking people and equipment and things like that that make, you wouldn't believe how expensive it is to make something. It's fucking crazy. But
and we shoot in the towards the end of June, and we'll have 3 more episodes
over
least.
Yeah, coming up, so probably end of summer it'll be when they'll come out. But
and they're really fun. They're
super
former
funny.
Guests of the pod.
A lot of former guests of the pod are going to be making
some
appearances.
Like real from real
some
winners
icons.
Winners at war and guests
yeah.
of the pod.
Oh yeah, some real winners at war guests.
Heroes versus villains.
Yeah, yeah, we've got some really fun people involved in this that we're super excited to be a part of it. And yeah, what else? Yeah, keep sharing them out. If you liked it, keep sharing it with people. And the more eyes we get, the more we can make and stuff like that. I want to give a shout out to, I watched Overcompensating. Shout out to our friends, former guest of the pod, Mary Beth Barone. She's a two-timer. Holmes did our live show.
Holmes did live show. Julia Shiplett.
Julia Shiplett's former guest of the pod. Benny's great. Wally, we should. Wally should be on the pod. We should
New
have
York?
Her on. Yeah, she's in New York now. Wally Barnum, great, super fun, super funny. Some really sweet earnest moments too. I want to give a special shout out to Holmes, who is such a scene stealer. She's so fucking funny in it. They are so funny in it. The character is a woman. Yeah. Anyway. Check that out while we're talking about gay media. It's on Prime. Our former colleague Scott King wrote on it, and who used to work with this. He used to work on Boys Club with us before, back when it was in its TV production days. So shout out to many great people that worked on that show, and worth checking out on Prime.
I'm so glad I don't sleep in here anymore. I hate it. Don't you just hate it in here?
Yeah, why do you got that Boston Red Sox hat?
Wait, do you think I should paint the walls?
I mean, I think you could put some. Why? I would start with artwork.
Yeah.
And then if you still don't like it, do paint.
Look at the light.
I mean, I don't even know what to make of that. Is that tin foil?
Crackdown. It's giving literally crackdown. Like we're making meth in here.
Oh my God.
But it came like that.
Wait, did I tell you about this? There was a house on the street, down the street from me when I was growing up that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, they would like, they think they were cooking meth there because like there was like 3 trailers back there on this like nice property. And once a week or so, a bunch of trash would be out there, like a couch. Chairs. So either they were like the slowest cleanup of a hoarder's episode, like just weekly throwing it, or they were cooking meth and just chucking everything every week.
Because it smells?
I think.
So, but every time you make meth, you just have to throw everything out. That's not worth it.
Watch Breaking Bad. I think that'll be your best.
I watched everything with the last half season. I just can't. I'm not.
Really?
I'm not good at finishing.
You made it that far?
Yeah.
Damn. When did you watch it?
Years ago.
Yeah,
I had
me
to
too.
Be like,
I gotta watch it again.
School, college.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. That's a classic. I'm trying to think what else I've been watching.
AIDS documentaries.
Totally.
I watched a whole documentary about the Bush family called The Bush Years. Neither here nor there.
All 16 of them?
Yeah,
didn't they both win twice or did just.
George H.W. was Ronald Reagan's VP for, I believe, 8 years, and then he was president for 4 years.
So he was in the White House for 12 years.
He was in the White House for 12 years, and he was very popular because of the Gulf War, and they never thought Bill Clinton was going to be a threat because they were like, who's this guy? He's just some goofball playing the saxophone, but then he did win.
Yeah.
Yes, and then George W. Bush was in for 8 years. So
God damn. So 20 years of Bush in the White House.
Yeah.
God!
I know. It was such an interesting document. I don't know why I watched this.
I listened to Michelle Obama on Amy Poehler's podcast this week.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I know.
I mean, thought Catherine Hahn was a big deal.
I know she can get anybody.
And she is, and she is,
and of course she is. And Catherine, if you're listening, please come on this podcast.
We would be a big deal.
I mean, that would be.
Please come sit in this little room. This little casting couch.
We
room.
Can offer you almost nothing but a couple snacks.
I'm gonna rent this out to porn producers.
Catherine, we would have you in an episode of Boys Club in a heartbeat. So reach out. We would be so lucky.
Was Michelle, did they kind of vibe?
Yes, there was something really funny that she was talking about. I'm trying to remember now.
You forget that things aren't like, I forget that that's not working it out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah. She's doing good hang. It's not a working it out podcast.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You got any bits you want to work out?
Right now?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm trying to do this joke about how my dad always says, I told this too, but my dad always says, like, God, when you were a drunk person, you were like, so you were a totally different person. Oh, but part of this is that I would get drunk and like literally be like, we've got to get Chick-fil-A off campus. And like, we have to do this. And I'd be like, we have to get rid of the racist fraternity. And there's so much racism in the world.
Yeah.
And like, I would cry and like, whatever. I'd run for student government. I was like elected as I was drunk. And then my dad would be like, you're really a different person. And it's like, first off, don't talk about my friend like that. Second off, don't disrespect the greatest civil rights leader of our time.
Like, I love that.
I do think that like a relapse for me maybe could save democracy. Like, if I were drunk again, you think we'd be in this pickle? I don't think so. I don't think so, Buster. I think Zorin should want me to fucking
Zorin's gonna come in here with a pamphlet and a handle.
Cuomo has his hands between me and the liquor store.
Yeah.
Because he knows. That once I get in there,
it's over for him.
Do you have any bits you want to work out?
Well, I had told you yesterday I have a similar bit, which is that this woman who works out at Zumba with my mom asked her what my old name was, and she told her, and then the woman was like, oh, no, no, that's not him at all. No, no, no. And it's like, you keep her out of your mouth, okay? That was the homecoming queen. Show some damn respect. That's so funny. Show some damn respect.
That's really funny.
I also wanted to maybe use that as a callback in my hour, because I have a moment about going to the DMV and having my license and my paperwork for my name change, my old license. So this is my license I got when I was 16, long hair in it and everything. And I slide it over and the lady looks at it and she looks back at me and she goes, who is this?
That's funny.
And I want to be like, that's the homecoming queen, bitch.
Also, that's why we're here, you dumbass.
Wait, literally, that's like, what the line girl, I have right now is like, here. That's why I'm here, actually.
That's also so...
You and me both.
I feel like a DMV identity... Like, that person needs to have... They need to take the same class that the pharmacist needs to take, where it's like, you're going to have to... I'm going to need you to be pretty stone cold here.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to be kind of like, oh, who's... Like, I'm getting doxy pep.
You know what's so crazy to me every time I go to the pharmacy? It's nuts that I have to say my full name and my date of birth. It's like, that's good information for anybody here to just be able to have.
Take all your stuff.
You know?
No, totally. I'm trying to write one joke that doesn't have punchlines. I just think it's a funny idea.
No, you need punchlines.
Wait, tell me what the punchline is to this. I think there's something funny about people that are like, oh, you can't have a kid because it's so expensive and time consuming. And it's like, that's only if you're like super good at it. Like, you can still have a kid. Like, you're not going to get mom.
I didn't say wanted to be a good dad.
Yes, the only punchline I have is, God forbid you give your kids something to write a memoir about. Like, but I don't know how to get there.
The best thing you can give your kid is if you don't have $1 million, is something to write a memoir about.
Like, yeah. Yes,
something like that.
Could give them trauma. Oh, you mean a savings account? Oh, you mean a what would it be? Like a...
I might not be able to give my kids a saving account, but I can give them enough trauma to write a best-selling memoir.
Is that the whole joke, though?
Maybe. But you could also do something... There's something there, too, about being like... The great thing about being a dad is like just being there is like half... Whatever. There's maybe something about that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like many dads, I can leave when I want or something like that.
Because I think there's also something funny about... You don't see two... People are always mad about gay guys having kids. Here's the thing. Two gay dads are going to be, like, so obsessed with being dad. Like, they're going to be amazing dads.
Yeah.
They made a doctor's appointment for this.
They like, had a down payment.
They canceled the orgy. Like, they're in it. Whereas, like, there's something... Like, I feel like the whole...
They
like,
had to give up their Fire Island timeshare to put a down payment on this child.
Yes. Gay guys, are, like, if they have kids, they have works. They want them so bad. Like, there's such an interesting juxtaposition. But, like, the anger about, like, gay dads compared to all these fucking straight people right now with kids that they just got by accident. Whoopsie daisy, and now you're a parent.
Also, like, double income, full 100% on the dollar. Come on.
I know. Gay guys... I think we have to have kids. We need to be having kids.
Also, okay, the other day I was at the park with Maddie. Maybe this was after. Were you guys there when there was the baby next to us?
Yes.
Okay.
That made you want a baby.
Well, I thought the baby was really cute. I thought it was the two gay guys' babies.
Oh.
You didn't think that?
I don't know what I thought that unconventional family was.
It was giving unconventional family. It was giving unconventional family.
Remember when people said queer, that like QRP, what was it? Queer, there was some sort of acronym people were using for like queer platonic family units. That was just like queer people living together. That's New York, baby. But like,
oh my God.
I forget.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so there was a baby and then a couple of adults that seemed to be some sort of unconventional family. And I thought...
What's this unconventional family?
I thought either the woman had the baby and had brought it with her to the two gay guys, like, uh-huh, as friends, or it was the gay guy's baby and then the woman, whatever. Turns out, one of those guys, with the earring and the bleached hair, married to the woman. It was their baby. I said... Wait. No, and no, under no circumstances. Show. Under no circumstances.
That is just a shock.
Are you a straight man? Under no
That's
circumstances.
That's like, where am I in 10 years with Bridget Foley having a baby?
Literally. Like, literally.
There should be a TikTok show where we go around the park on busy days like that, and it's like, and our, it says, whose baby is this? And we have to guess what the parental situation is of each baby. Whose baby is this?
Yes, we find a bunch of unconventional families, and we get to the bottom of it.
That could be really...
Oh my God, wait. Another reality show I watched recently. Hulu? Maybe Hulu. Maybe Max. Might have been Max. I don't know. Anyway, one of those. I can't even remember the name of the show.
I love that I watch, like, it, like we both watch the most useless shit.
Of course.
Like, I'm watching...
You have to turn the brain
Bush
off.
The Bush years, and you're watching Couple Thruple Nupple. Like, what, you're like, oh, you're just constant.
Couple Thruple Nupple. I am always watching something like that, but it's a similar thing. It's two, it was, it's two couples that got...
It sucks that to go on a reality show, you like have to have another, it's not a reality plus
show.
One.
Oh my God. It's a, it, well, it's like a reality show, but not like a, it's not like a game show or anything. Like, it's like following people, like a My 800 Pound Life or something like that. Anyway, it's two couples who were married to each other, and now all four of them are dating, kind of. So basically both, they all live in the same house now, and the wives switch... Or the husbands switch bedrooms every night. So the husbands are not, they have no relationship to each other. They're not dating. They even say on the episode that they're like, if it wasn't for this situation, we wouldn't even be friends. They don't really even like each other that much. But the wives like kind of have a sort of relationship, kind of not
Wait,
really.
This is a reality show?
Yes. And they, what state they're are they dating, but Oregon, I think.
Okay. That, I was like, which one of the United States that are they with?
It's going to go ahead and
That's
Oregon.
Incredible.
And they swap every night. And so they have one of the families, like an original families, has like three kids. And so they all live together now and they like all are parents to these kids kind of, which is like sweet. Like it does take a village. But the other, like sort of the...
It takes an unconventional
It takes a nupple.
It takes a thruple. So, you know, it takes a village, it takes a thruple. That's funny.
Anyway, it's... anyway, so the drama of the season is that one of the women is pregnant, but because they switch bedrooms every night, they don't know who the dad is. And they kind of want to leave it that way so that it's like, oh, we all raise it together and whatever. But it seems like they're teeing up that there might be some parental drama based on like paternity tests or something.
What time do you think it is?
It is 4:17.
Oh, we're so good. That's crazy.
I know.
That's literally insane. What channel is this on?
I think it's Max or Hulu. I can't remember. I'll find the name of it and send it to you. And I'll tell the listeners. But it's crazy. Maddie and I only watched one episode because it wasn't like so crazy that we were like, we got to keep watching. But it was like...
Where has this country gone when I'm the biggest proponent for the sanctity of marriage? Like, what's going on? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I am in favor of like more community opportunity. It does take a village. I think there should be more adults in...
Hit your friend's kids. I think that's okay. Literally, hit your friend's kids. You should be allowed to,
you know,
smack them around.
I always say that. I'll tell this later. Actually, okay. I'll tell that part later. Anyway,
and that's when you know you've made it, when you're censoring on the pod.
But it is like, I know I was watching and I was just kind of like, and trans people are the problem. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't mean that. It seems like they've got a nice situation going.
No, totally. But it's also like, no, I totally agree with you, but also yes.
Yeah. Well, what the other, yes. Like, yeah. But it was interesting too. Like, I will say, like, on the benefit side, like, they were talking about the way they, like, split up household duties and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, like, that's a lot. It is a lot for two people to raise three children and, like, make money and keep track of the books of a house and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, whatever. And so, like, it was nice. It's like, one of the guys is really good at, you know, accounting and keeping track of all that stuff. One of the guys is working. One of the women is taking care of the children. One of the women is like organizing like the grocery runs and stuff like that. And like, it's like, oh yeah, like it actually probably does take four people to like adequately feed and care for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
no, that makes total sense.
Plus then that's four sources of income and whatever. But
I guess with transness, like
go off.
It's gonna be like, we know you think this. I feel like it's just not that weird. Like it's just,
thank you.
But if, but when you think about it like that, like there's so many weird things going on.
If you picked up every rock and nook and cranny of this country and world, you'd find some weird fucking shit. Okay, we are the least of your concerns.
It's just like it's easier to be like, I'm mad at trans people than I'm mad at that unconventional family unit down the road. Like we can't kind of wage war against them in the same way.
No, and there's too many of them.
They're harder to find. Yeah. They kind of like, when you see, like they're just,
well, you know,
tougher.
They're on like a homestead. They're deep in Oregon,
and this is how we got the Branch Davidians. Like it started as an unconventional family unit.
That's what happens. No, not in this episode, but it's like, yeah, it's like it starts as an unconventional family and then one of the guys gets a little weird and it's like, all right,
it's always one of the guys.
I know,
it's always one of the guys.
What are we gonna do with all these sex pests?
What's that? Say that again another way.
All these perverts out there like this guy. Like,
did you make that up?
Sex pest.
Never heard that before.
I mean, that's kind of like a catch-all. I think I say it a lot.
It's giving virgin. Sorry.
If you're a sex pest, you're a virgin.
Wait, I want this podcast is kind of just like a virgin and you. It's kind of it's like, what if we got me and then a virgin and like sat on a couch together? Yes. Sex pests.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
You know,
that's
tough. Like we got a lot of sex pests in this country, and they need to go.
You think I don't know it?
Yeah.
You think I don't know there's sex pests out there?
And it's like, what is that? What's up with that?
What? I don't know.
Is it be like, I guess it's like anything else where it's like with alcohol, anything that brings us joy, I guess, has to have a negative side to it as well.
Wait, tell me if this is crazy. I'm about to defend gay guys. What I actually think maybe works for gay guys is it is so generally very sex, lots of problems, but also very sex positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's fewer gay guy sex pests. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Whereas
Which is
like,
why it's frustrating when like a lot of people try to complete those types of things. Obviously that's super homophobic and fucked up and riddled with all these other things, but it's like actually gay people have a lot of stuff sort of figured out in that way. Obviously not everything.
Totally.
There's definitely room for there to be all
if
kinds
Harvey
of shit.
If Harvey Weinstein were gay, he wouldn't have had to work so hard to convince all those people to do that.
No,
whatever.
It's like there will be guys giving that out for damn
been,
near
like,
free.
Hashtag generous. And they'd be like, I'm fucking in, bro.
Literally.
Yes. It does feel like there's a more, heterosexually, there's more of a repression
well,
to
I
it.
Well, I just feel like also for so many straight men, they feel such an ownership over other people's bodies. And that's part of where their sexuality is like incumbent on that fact as well, which is just like weird.
Oh my God. I can't believe I'm getting, my dad's going to hate this and I literally don't care. Like this one time I talked to this guy who was like, I own you. And I was like, okay. Like, you know how I'm like, I'm kind of like, I like I was whatever, but I was like, that is so strange.
Yeah,
there's a fundamental difference in like
that's
how
that's just like a big thing to be bringing to a hookup.
It's kind of just like you like make little lists of you like that's kind of a red flag that he says he owns. Like that's
yeah,
kind of just
like,
strange.
That's something that you kind of talk about with a partner after having been having sex for a while or something. That's something
no,
you, or
totally.
You find that kind of person on field, and it's like, yeah, I want to be caged up like a dog or something, and you know, like. To just whip out.
I brought my cage.
You see a gay man on the subway with an empty cage. He is not going to pick up a dog.
Are you kind of relieved to see my whole apartment? Do you know what I mean? That it's, isn't it? There's kind of, I think there's a piece in that. That you, before you had no idea what
I'm
in this
sorry
room.
That this has been weighing on you the whole time. I like it.
I know, but I think there is something where it's like.
I think you have one of the nicest apartments of any of our friends.
We love to our friends. Bars on the ground. Love and light to our friends.
No, for sure. We have a lot of poor friends, but that's fine.
It's fair.
I think you have
that's beautiful. What do you want? A bunch of rich friends? We're going to do a bunch of rich friends.
We would be making more episodes of that web series.
It's
I'll tell you that.
That's true. Fuck, you're right.
No, I'm just messing with you. Anyway,
there's also has to be a joke where
you can't just show up and say that without any, like, that is a crazy thing to say.
Yeah. I know, because I was kind of just like, okay then, but what am I gonna be like, no you don't,
because there's like a spectrum of language with like dominance in bed that is like people like, obviously, like I think there, but like I think there's like there's a far end of the spectrum which includes a cage perhaps, and then there's a low end of the spectrum that's like, you know, whatever sort of language is like, you know what I'm saying though. And that is far along the spectrum towards cage.
I feel like, and maybe this is like bad because you're supposed to be in your body, but I do feel like a little bit of an observer because you're kind of just like, I own you. And like, hokey dokes then. I'm owned now. It sucks.
It's just like, aw, shucks.
Because then in my head, I'm just like, I wonder where that came from with you. Like, what's going on with you? Like, were your parents weird? Like, and it's just like, it is like such a weird red flag where it's like, oh, you're so lovely and you have a good job and you're handsome, but it's like, you're kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm sure like the psychology of sex is really interesting. Like, why we have certain, I mean, I'm sure there's no one reason for any of like certain proclivities and better desires.
I know. That's what we're supposed to be learning. We should have been learning that in school.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation with somebody recently about sex ed. Did you guys do sex ed?
The joke about how you literally were either in chorus or sex ed.
That's crazy.
I know. They did alcohol in there too. It was health. It was all one.
You can't have sex ed / health be like this or another elective. That's crazy. Yeah. That's a mandatory elective.
Yeah, I know. I never took it. And gym too.
I'm like pretty certain we didn't do any health in all of middle school. When you need it most.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's when everybody's changing.
Oh. And that's interesting.
Like, we had it in fourth and fifth grade, and maybe sixth grade.
Was
and then
fourth public?
No.
Private. The same one.
They split us up, boys and girls, and they showed us this video about getting your period, and I was like, I'm unwell. I'm sick to my stomach right now. I can't believe this.
I remember this now.
I can't believe this. And the boys come out laughing about theirs, and I said, this is serious.
That's scary.
I wasn't happy.
I just remember that. The teacher, Mrs. D'Aracia, said, are you guys experiencing any of these side? Like, it was like pubic hair. And then David Miller said, I am. And then he went to like Colgate.
he and his pubes.
He's like, I'm going to fucking Colgate.
That Bush has
philosophy
a degree.
At Colgate.
I'm imagining a cap and gown here and a cap and gown here.
Shout out, college educated man.
All righty, should we wrap it up?
This is amazing. Guys, thank you for reaching out. Thank you for doing this.
If anybody's still listening, we love you the most. Thank you. Shout out to everybody who donated to our GoFundMe. Seriously, we cannot say enough how genuinely so grateful much. We are for every single one of you. It means the world that people
if
are
you were
supportive.
Anonymous, I feel uncomfortable about that. And
we appreciate that you wanted to. You know what? We appreciate people who want it without the credit too. You know, some people are just.
But what you're doing is you're giving credit to evil people because I'm like, oh, everyone that's anonymous to me is someone I loved once. Do you know what I mean?
You
I'm
think
like,
that?
Oh, this is my ex.
At least they're not donating with their full goddamn name.
And what's crazy is, it's not even saying anything.
We'll save that for off pod. Anyway, we will be back next week. We will be shooting more episodes. We'll be having more podcasts. We probably have some live shows coming up. I'm going on tour. Connor's going to be doing shows. Follow our Instagram for all the information. I think that's it.
Yes, all, dude.
Love you guys. Bye.